Luke chapter 10, our text is verses 1 through 24 today. Would you turn there, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I got some encouragement over the weekend. My daughter Ashley was at home. She says, "Dad, our church is in the same book of the Bible and just about the same place as you, but they're a little slower than you." And I thought, is that possible? Father God, we come before you now in the name of your beautiful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would take the words that I have prepared for this message and change them into a word from you, Lord, for each one of us here today. We do thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures, for the Holy Spirit, for his anointing. And we submit ourselves again to you afresh, Father, in the powerful name of Jesus, amen and amen. Well, I have to tell you that when I come up with titles for sermons, I usually don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about them. I don't know how long it takes you to buy a card in a store, maybe a birthday card or an anniversary card. I have a goal when I go into a drugstore or a place like that, Walmart or wherever, to buy a card. I give myself anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes to accomplish that task. Did anybody else like, Al, are you like that? It makes you feel good, right? Well, everyone else there is still reading. Why are people reading them? Just look. You know, if it opens up and makes a noise and sounds good, that's a good card. Well, I entitled my message, Mission Possible. It may have been stimulated by the fact that at the time I was thinking about this, my dear wife was watching a particular movie. So it may have influenced me, because actually I should have entitled my message, Road Trip. Because that's what really today is. It's a road trip. If you're following along with an outline, in verses 1 through 16, the 70 are sent out by the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, the 70 return in verses 17 through 24. So let's first read about the 70 being sent out in verses 1 through 16. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house, and whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Now, if you take notes or you like just to follow along in Bible study, there's something that's rather unique about this passage we're looking at today. The Gospel of Luke is the only gospel book in the New Testament that records that the Lord sent out these 70 or so, really missionaries or apostles, whatever we would like to call them. Now, one observation, of course, is if you think about Luke's theme is, people would say Luke was sort of writing more to the Gentiles, or shall we say the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. In other words, the universality of the gospel message. So in a way, it could be that Luke is developing this whole theme, because first the Lord Jesus starts with his 12 disciples, and then he expands it out from there to these 70 or so. And then remember, Luke not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he also wrote the Book of what? The book of Acts, right? And of course, in the book of Acts, the gospel goes right from Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost part of the earth. And of course, the Lord Jesus, just in the previous chapter, we learned that the Lord now has resolutely or steadfastly now purpose that he's going, now this is the time that he's going to go up to Jerusalem and of course shortly thereafter be crucified, buried, and rise again. But the Lord now, in the text that we just read, Luke's telling us that Jesus now has brought a number of others now around him, not just the 12, and he's sending them out to prepare the way for him. And I was just thinking about that this morning and Route 72. Any of you driven out Route 72? Visitors, do you drive Route 72? Because they're paving it, right? And I had to kind of laugh to myself this morning because I thought it must be time for elections. Now, if you're a politician, no offense, okay, but you know how that is. It's like, it's time to spruce things up right around the right time. And I just was thinking about how roads get paved. I don't know if this is true over in England, but in Ireland, the way they pave roads is they put down the asphalt, but they don't bring out those rollers that smooth the road out. Actually, your car is what smooths the road out. And when we first went there, I thought to myself, this is barbaric. What's wrong with these people? But I realized later it's actually quite practical because, for one thing, the way they're doing Route 72, they put so much oil or tar into that composite. They have all those nice signs now along the road that says, motorcycle riders, be warned, you know. And it is. It's a nightmare what's going on out there. But nevertheless, They're doing these roads to supposedly prepare the way, right, for whatever's going to happen, just like we're finally going to get a new bridge probably by the year 2020 or 2025 or whenever it is, to bring people in safely and quickly. Well, the Lord sends out all these individuals to prepare the way. And you'll notice again there, look in verse 1, that he sent them out in twos to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And so you might remember John the Baptist had first one person, John the Baptist, had been sent by God to prepare the way. And then the Lord sent out his 12 disciples to prepare the way. And now the Lord has sent out these 70 gospel, shall we call them, foot soldiers to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Now, if you like words, and words are important to you, in verse 1, that little word sent, S-E-N-T, is the little Greek word apostello, from which we get the word apostle, right? Now, oftentimes when we think about the apostles, we typically just think of the 12, right? If I were to say the apostle Paul or apostle Peter, well, Paul wasn't actually included in that 12, was he? You see, that word is used in a specific sense to refer to those that were with the Lord, but it also included many others. In fact, when you read through the Gospel of Acts, sometimes you will encounter that word apostles. An apostle is someone who has been sent out. We have a different word that we use today, which is what? Missionary. Missionaries are people that we have sent out from ourselves to do a gospel ministry. Brad and Ellie are an example, right? Val and Casey, another example of couples that God has sent out from our own congregation. Now, how many of you are using an NIV this morning? You have some NIV people here? Yeah, there's quite a few. Now, when I was reading through the passage, you probably said, now, wait a second, Pastor Dan, my Bible says 72, and you kept reading 70. Now, I take these things head on because when this sort of stuff shows up, it sometimes raises questions in people's minds. Is it 70 or is it 72? Because that kind of sounds like what we might call a textual discrepancy. Well, one thing that we have to remember is that since the time that the scriptures were first given, hundreds, really, more than thousands of years have passed, right? And during that season of time, from when the scripture was first given, whatever Luke first wrote, right, was then, what, copied by other people. And when people make copies of things, sometimes little things slip in, right? But what I want you to understand is this, that just like my notes here are like copies, beneath these copies is the original. It's the original itself that is without error. That is a final authority. And really, when it comes right down to it, whether it's 70 or 72, it really doesn't change the point of the passage. Personally speaking, I prefer the reasons for the 70 number rather than 72, simply because I prefer what's referred to as the majority text of Scripture, which is oftentimes what the King James Bible is based upon. But what I just want you to know is that we have copies, and in copies, things can sometimes get a little bit confused. But beneath all those copies, we have the original Word of God. And so, as I'm saying here, it really ultimately doesn't change the meaning of the text, whether it was 70 or 72. Now, some people point out that in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel had 70 elders. Others have pointed out that all the nations of the world, when they were first counted in the book of Genesis, there were 70 nations listed. So possibly that's an argument for that particular reason. But let's just all agree to the fact that God now, the Lord Jesus, has sent out a much wider group of individuals to go out and to do this particular ministry. And the reason for it was to expand his reach. And you may remember from a week or so ago, the disciples had gotten into an argument. Remember, they had said to the Lord, who's the greatest? But even prior to that, they had gotten upset because they went out and they saw another guy doing miracles. And they told the Lord, oh, we just want to let you know. We told the guy to knock it off. Stop. Don't do that. And then the Lord Jesus says, what are you doing? Let him do it, because anyone who's going in my name. In other words, the Lord wanted them to see beyond just their inner circle and to realize that God was doing a far greater work out there. Why? Well, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, from God's viewpoint, there's a whole great big wide world out there of people, even on little islands like Vanuatu, that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And one of the exciting things about being a missionary is sometimes when people go out on the mission field, they get the sense, they think that they're the only ones going, they're the only ones out there. And oftentimes when you arrive on the mission field, you discover, wow, I'm not actually the only missionary who has been sent out. It's kind of like a reminder of God saying, that's right, you're not the only one in the world who has been given the good news to go out and to preach it. In fact, just recently in correspondence with Brad Harris, Brad and Ellie Harris in Kenya, Brad was telling me that God has led them to connect up with another missionary couple who is working in a church that they have planted in the area that they're living in, and that they're working with a Kenyan pastor to raise him up and also raise up leadership in that church. And that's exciting to hear, because as you know, Brad and Ellie first went out with another couple from their own mission agency, which does not always work so well, believe it or not. But God now has brought other missionaries from an entirely different mission agency, but the two couples share the same goal and purpose, and that is to see the gospel preached and for people to be raised up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did the Lord Jesus prepare them for this particular journey? Notice, look at verse 3. What does the Lord tell them? He says, you'll be lambs among the wolves. In other words, there's going to be people out there that are going to want to devour you, that are going to want to destroy you, they're going to want to ruin your life or get in the way of your ministry. In verse 4, he tells them, in effect, leave any extra clothes at home and even your suitcase. Why did the Lord tell them, don't pack your deodorant or cologne or your perfume? Because what he was really saying to them is, I want you to go in haste. Well, for good reason. Because in a very short period of time, the Lord Jesus was going to be coming on the heels of those 70 individuals to the cities and to the places that he had sent them out to minister to. In fact, in verses 5 through 8, when he tells them to rely upon the hospitality and generosity of others, of course, he says, if you go to someone's home and they don't welcome you, then you know, pull back your blessing and just move on. But do you notice he says, if you find a place, if you find a house where they welcome you, don't, in other words, don't spend the time going out trying to look for another Motel 6 the next night. Just stay right where you are. Why? Because again, the Lord didn't want them wasting time looking for a place to live or to stay. He wanted them just to go out each and every day and really quite literally pound the streets with the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, in the places where they were welcomed, what would happen in verse 9? They were given the power, the authority from the Lord to to heal anyone who needed healing. And they were also to preach the message that God's kingdom had come near. Why is that? Well, through the demonstration of power in the working of miracles, the kingdom of God had come near. Also, in the proclamation of the gospel message, the kingdom of God had come near. And as well, the king himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, was also coming. And he would most certainly stand in their midst and they would get to see him. Well, of course, there would be some who would reject the message, which is sad to say, and it does. And by the way, is that not what makes sharing the gospel so difficult? I mean, think about this. If everyone in the world accepted the gospel message that we preached, we probably would have no difficulty sharing it, would we? Because we would just think, well, you know what? I just got to tell this person and they'll believe it, and tell this one, they'll believe it. But it doesn't work that way, does it? We all realize that not everyone's going to accept it. And the Lord says that to these apostles. He tells them, there are going to people out there as you go out and share the message who, Chad, are going to slam the door on your face. Or neighbors, Chad, who say, I don't exactly care for all those cars you have parked around your house when you have a young adult ministry going on at your house. Of course, too bad. They're public streets. And so you just keep right on in the work of the ministry. But of course, the Lord names a few towns here, doesn't he? And by the way, that was a little bit of humor and also seriousness on my part, because our pastor Chad has a real heart for the lost. And one of the things that has encouraged me is that in the young adult ministry, he has already been training the young adults in sharing their faith of the Lord Jesus. And I'm like, you know, sort of like a racehorse coming out of the gate, like the horse illustration. He's already doing that work. And in a way, you know, it kind of reminds me of Brad Harris, who always told me that Thursday was his favorite day because that was the day he and Ellie walked up and down the streets of Ship Bottom knocking on doors. And he'd always get this big smile. I love Thursdays. I can't wait to go out. Now, most of us probably in this room are like, you got to be kidding me. Go up and knock on the door. Well, you know what? God calls all kinds of people with all sorts of personalities and with ways of doing things. And there's all sorts of ways of sharing our faith. But Jesus tells his apostles here that obviously there are going to be people who are going to reject the message. And because of that, they're ultimately, unfortunately, going to face the wrath of God, aren't they? And in verse 15, he tells them that ultimately they're going to be sent to Hades. Now, I know the King James uses the word hell, but in this case, it's really Hades, because Jesus is saying that those that don't know the Lord Jesus will first go to a place called Hades. And then if you ever study the book of Revelation, you'll see that someday all of those people are brought up before the Lord at the great white throne judgment and are ultimately cast into the lake of fire, which, of course, is eternal hell. Now, secondly, in verses 17 through 24, the 70 come back. They return. And they return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That sounds like they're a little bit surprised, doesn't it? But you know, they're getting a taste of Holy Spirit power. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning, and behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. I just have to stop for a second in case I don't mention this later. Just remember, God is always more interested in you than what you can do for him. And here Jesus is saying, I know you're having a grand, fabulous, super swell time casting out demons and working miracles. But you know what? There's nothing any greater in life than knowing that your name is recorded in God's book of life. Will you receive that today, brethren? So at that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings wish to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them. The Lord, in verse 17, when they came back to the Lord Jesus, two words. They came back with great joy because they got to experience something that people had never experienced. They got to experience the presence and the power in the kingdom of God. They got to experience watching demons cower and flee at hearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the enemy of souls that would love to send people to the pit of hell was no match for the victorious King of glory. It reminds me of that verse in Scripture that says that for greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And you know what? There are some days where I need, and you probably need to say that to yourself because maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by things, and we need to receive that. In fact, the Bible says that even in the power of Christ, that Satan himself, that he would be, I love how Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church, crushed under your feet. Because we live in victory. That's what God has for us. I wrote this down about verses 18 through 20. You have to love how the Lord Jesus responds to these happy apostles. He tells them to see into the spiritual realm because for him, for the Lord Jesus, he watched Satan like lightning falling from the sky. In other words, like saying, Satan has now fallen off his high perch because I have sent you out. He has been overshadowed and overpowered by God himself. And the Lord tells them, and on top of that, when God has his arms wrapped around you, nothing can touch you, not even the scorpions. In fact, you'll trample upon them. In other words, the Lord was saying, you know all those evil things going on out there in the spiritual realm? Well, for you, they're like those worms that come out after the rain. You ever taken a walk and the worms, when they come out after the rain, but then what happens? The hot sun comes and scorches and burns them up. Well, the Lord says, you know all those serpents and scorpions? Why? You're going to step and trample upon them. In other words, you're going to walk in victory. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. Boy, I'll tell you something. Years ago when I did a study on church planting, I walked away from it after I had read who knows how many hundreds of articles and books and had written supposedly this fabulous big fat thing that's now inside of what's supposed to look like a book. But at the end of the day, realizing that without God, we're nothing. Really, God who's building his church, and we're just fortunate to get to work along with him. And by the way, he will build his church despite even us. And so the Lord was saying to these apostles, look, I know you're excited about the ministry and what you're doing, but it's even more exciting to know that your name is recorded in heaven. And in verses 21 and 22, you probably noticed when I read this passage that just for a moment, the Lord Jesus kind of steps away from all of them and goes into his own rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord himself just breaks forth with praise and adoration and speaks of his Father and speaks of his special relationship with his Father. And then after the Lord lifts up this praise of thanksgiving, he then turns back to the disciples and he says to them in verses 23 and 24, look there again. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings wish to see the things which you see. In the book of Hebrews, it says of Abraham, remember, did Abraham longed to see what he knew God had in store? And that must have been true for Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Daniel, who writes about all the glorious things that God has planned in coming days. I would imagine that all those individuals were like, oh God, can it just happen today? It's like probably how a lot of us feel about the Lord's coming. Oh Lord, you know, we're glad to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but it'd be really cool if it happened today. And the Lord is saying to these apostles, these disciples, you're blessed because you're getting to see what all these people who were before you have always wanted to see. And ultimately, what was it that they wanted to see? The Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. Count your blessings, name them one by one. No greater privilege than serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength, because of thine adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Father, when we consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. And Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that out of your great love and mercy, you did come into this world to rescue people like us, and to set us free from our sins and from the power of death, and to bring us into victory beneath the cross, covered by the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Thank you, Father, for extending your love towards us. Thank you, Father, for reminding us again today that though you also sent us out into the world, you send us out clothed with power. You send us out with promise and with blessing. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in worshiping you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.